The last Aliyah of Parsha Shmos begins with a language that suggests it's a direct continuation from the previous pasuk. It begins with V'achar ba'u Moshe v'Aaron v'yomru el paro ko'amar Hashem elokei Yisrael shalach es ami v'achogu li bamidbar. So it suggests that it's a direct continuation from the previous pasuk in which the Jews believe that God has taken notice of them and that they will be redeemed. So therefore, Moshe and Aaron are able to speak to Paro. And the Sefer Siach Yitzchak notes that one would have thought that perhaps it would have gone in the other direction, that the fact that Moshe, who is a wanted man, is able to be brave enough to go in and speak to Paro, that would inspire the Jews to, in turn, believe him. And the fact that it happens the other way around, that they believe him, and then Moshe and Aaron go in to speak to Paro, is perhaps not what you would expect. But indeed, he notes, it has to be that way because this is where the Geula comes from, that it has to start from the Emunah of the Jewish people. Their faith is indeed the source of the redemption. And Rav Sham Shnafal Hirsch notes about this entire episode here, this Aliyah, that nothing really takes place other than to set the stage for the Makos. This is in order to convey to us the futility of negotiating with Paro, to show that nothing could be accomplished through this effort, and the necessity of the Makos. And he comments that if Paro was smart, he would have listened to this request, which wasn't a request for a full freedom, just to let the Jews go and celebrate a festival for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, however, that the Avnei Nezer, as quoted by the Shem Yishmuel, suggests that there actually was a request for full freedom that's hidden within it, because the request for a chag, the Gemara Maseches Chagiga and Avdalat Amud Aleph, regarding a chagiga, darshans from the pasuk al pnei Adon Hashem, that comes to exclude Mishiyeshlo Adon Acher, whoever has a different master on top of them is excluded from the chagiga. So the request for a chagiga is, in a sense, the first step to representing a request for freedom. Paro doesn't want to grant this request, and Pasuk Dalet tells us, "Vayomer aleihem melech Mitzrayim, lama Moshe v'Aaron tafriu es ha'ami ma'asav, l'chu l'sivlo seichem." So there is this interesting switch. Instead of referring to Paro, it's Melech Mitzrayim, and emphasizing that he's talking to Moshe v'Aaron. Rav Sham Shnafal Hirsch has a comment here that this is to highlight that Paro is trying to say that, okay, you're talking about religion and about Chagiga, but I understand that this is all about politics. You're speaking to your people here, so I know what's going on, and forget about it. Forget about the rabble-rousing, and go back to what you're doing. And there's a distinction here that he doesn't identify the work of the slaves as sivlo seichem, because he doesn't want to use that kind of language. And the sivlo seichem, that's not talking about the slaves, that's talking about Moshe v'Aaron, who were not a part of the Shibud. So he's saying, you go back to your labors, to that which you do, and you have important responsibilities. You shouldn't be involved in rabble-rousing. What you're doing here is just politics, and forget about that. And the idea that they were not involved in the Shibud, that's a point that Rashi makes here. So when Paro makes this reference to Sivlo Seichem, he's not talking about the actual slavery, he's talking about their household responsibilities. And the Ramban has a comment here that, yes, Rashi is correct, that it's not talking about slavery, because Paro did exclude them from that because he understood that everyone needs teachers and that Shevet Levi fulfilled that role, and therefore they were excluded from the Shibud. On this point, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz had a different explanation as to why Levi was excluded from the Shibud. It's because Paro had been told by his advisors that the Redeemer of the Jewish people would come from Shevet Levi. So he had this plan that he would exclude Levi from the enslavement, and therefore this future Redeemer wouldn't care about the suffering of the Jewish people because he wouldn't be part of it. And he clearly underestimated Moshe. He didn't think that there would be such a person who, even though he wasn't a part of the slavery, could actually indeed care so deeply about the Jewish people. And of course, we see that Moshe was not only isolated from the Shibud, he in fact grew up in Paro's house, and we find in this week's Parsha that he actively cared intentionally, and the Yarb Sivil Osam, quite the opposite of what Paro thought about him. And indeed, Paro quite underestimated Moshe's ability to empathize with even the experiences that he was isolated from, and that was indeed Moshe's greatness. Paro makes their work harder, and in Pasuk Zayin it says, Lo sosifun la seis tevin la am, lebon halavenim kismol shalshom, heim yelchu vekoshishu lahem tevin. You shouldn't give them straw any longer. But the language here, lo sosifun, is spelled with an aleph. And that spelling, the Avnei Nezer comments that this is meant to convey something additional, that before the Torah was given, so the hope of the Jewish people was specifically in their togetherness, and that in later generations, when they had the Torah, so even when they were scattered, the Torah would unite them. But before that, they had to rely on their togetherness, so Paro specifically scatters them in order to deprive them of hope, and that's what we find a little bit later in Pasuk Yud-Beis, that he scatters them. However, the fact that they have heard now that they're going to be redeemed, that was what gives them hope nonetheless, and that is able to sustain them despite the fact that he plans on scattering them at this point. In Pasuk Tes, so we're told, Tichbad ha'avoda ha'anashim v'yasuva v'al yishu b'divrei shakir. So Paro says, let this heavier work be put on them, let them focus on that, and work at that, and they shouldn't pay attention to promises of deceit. So it sounds like what's going on here is that they should be so busy, they shouldn't be able to think about escape. But in the Medrash, there's an idea that they had these Megillos that they would study on Shabbos. And the Maharzu explains that Medrash, that in these Megillos, they had stories of Bereshis, and the story of Noach, and the Flood, and the Avos, and the Nevuos. And Rav Shach commented about this. His son-in-law, Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, talks about this in a Sefer Shari Ora, that this is what connected them to the Koach HaTorah. Before the Torah was given, they had this aspect of it about their history, and this is what kept them going. And the Sefer, the Shach Al HaTorah, of Rav Mordechai, who was a student of the Ari, so he understood the pasuk in the beginning of the parsha of Yemaru Eschayehem, that was a reference to Bittul Torah, this version of Bittul Torah, that it separated them from this connection to their history and their roots, and is Davka that connection that kept them going, and that was what Paro was trying to undo. And Yishem Yishmuel quotes from the Avnei Nezer, also commenting on this pasuk, that what Paro was going for was to involve them so completely in their work, they should be so totally immersed that they would be unable to think about anything else. And Torah is supposed to do the opposite of that. One is supposed to be so completely involved in Torah, so immersed, that they're unable to think about anything else in the other direction. And that reflects the opposite power. In the very end of the Parsha, in the very end of the Aliyah, we find that Moshe speaks in a shocking way to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Lama hariosa lam hazeh, lama zeh shlachtani, why have you brought bad things upon these people? Why have you sent me? Umeoz basi al paro ledaber b'shemecha, heira la'am hazeh, batzelo hitzalti asamecha. From the time that you sent me to speak in your name, you have brought bad things among these people, and I haven't been able to save them, you haven't delivered them. So this sounds very negative and very difficult words for him to say. And in fact, we find that Chazal do tell us that he's going to have to atone for this, and he's going to have to pay a price, and he's going to have to do tshuva, and that Oz Yashir is going to be an aspect of atonement. That language of Oz is going to come to atone for this language of Oz. But there could be other ways of understanding also his intention here. Rav Simcha Zissel Broyd in the Sefer Samdarech suggests that this is in the spirit of what we also find in our tefillah sometimes, that he's reflecting on the Chilul Hashem. He's saying that this is a type of tefillah that people are going to look at this and say that it looks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not helping the Jews, and that it looks bad, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for your own sake, for the sake of the Chilul Hashem, can you please act here, and can you please respond and redeem the Jewish people? And indeed, the parsha ends with a Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ata Sira Asher Es el Faro, Ki V'yad Chazaka Yishalchem, U V'yad Chazaka Yigashem Me'artzo.